Glory to God. Philemon in verse 6. We're looking at the subject of healing in the scriptures. Okay? Healing belongs to us. Say, healing belongs to me. All right. Philemon, we're going to read verse 4 and 6 tonight. Okay? Philemon, verse 4. It says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So this is Paul by the Spirit of God telling us what it does for every single believer. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Verse 6, this is the subject of the prayer, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? Is that in your Bible? Let me read verse 6 again. The subject of his prayer is this, that the communication of your faith, that word communication means the participation of your faith. In other words, I'm praying that your faith will be effectually working. I'm praying that your faith will be working effectively. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the language of the New Testament is a major departure from the old. And once you don't understand the language of the New Testament, the language of the New Testament speaks about promises fulfilled. The language of the Old Testament speaks about promises that are going to be fulfilled. So when you read the New Testament for the new creation, you are speaking about promises fulfilled. So Paul here by the Spirit of God says that the communication of your faith, which is my faith also, the faith of the believer, will become effectual as you learn to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, the believer, by reason of the new birth in Christ, has good things in him. It means you are constituted by the same life, the same substance, the same DNA in Christ Jesus constitutes you now. Hallelujah. He is a prototype. Every new creation is made after that order. So he says, the communication of your faith, listen carefully, since that faith is the faith of Christ, then the participation of that faith can only find full expression as you learn to acknowledge the things that you have and belong to you in union with Christ. Your faith will not be effectual as long as you're acknowledging what you don't have. So the focus, or what makes a believer's faith effectual, a believer does not need more faith. A believer needs the faith he has to walk. And so the faith you have, the scriptures teach you, how do you get that faith to be working? Because the faith you have is the faith of Christ. The apostles don't have more faith than you do. They just have a faith that is working more effectually than most of us do. Peter calls it like precious faith. He says, those who have obtained like precious faith. Look at 2 Peter. So you don't think I'm making it up. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. How many of us believe Apostle Peter has great faith? You know, Apostle Peter, you know he had great faith. Enough faith to raise the dead, isn't it? Okay, look at what he says in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them. Notice the people he's addressing. To them that have obtained one, like precious faith with us. Through what? The righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It says like. That word like means the same in substance and quality. The same in substance and quality. Those who have obtained like precious faith. So the faith of the apostles is the same faith every single believer has. Whether your faith is effectual or not is a function of what you are acknowledging. So that word acknowledging means that you are coming into a comprehensive knowledge of the hallelujah of the good things that God has placed in you in union with Christ. So in my union with Christ, certain things belong to me. They are not things that are going to come to me. They are things that are already there in my new nature. Say amen. Hallelujah. So he says, your faith in any area of your Christian walk becomes effectual as you acknowledge. In other words, if there's an area of your Christian faith that you're not getting results, it means in that area, you are yet to acknowledge certain things. In the same degree to which Christ is no failure, you also are not a failure. But it doesn't mean you cannot experience failure, because your faith works to the degree to which you acknowledge. So in any area where you are yet to acknowledge the good things that are in you. That one acknowledge doesn't just mean speak. It actually means to go beyond head knowledge, to have comprehensive knowledge. Any area where you have casual knowledge of the scriptures, your faith can't be effectual. You will have casual results. Glory to God. So we're looking at the subject of healing. Healing belongs to us. 3 John verse 2. Because some believers have their faith strong in the area of supernatural protection. Some believers have their faith strong in the area of finances. Some have their faith strong in the area of marriage. Okay? So people have their faith effectual in different areas. And the reason is because they have consciously acknowledge good things in that area. You know, I was using an illustration last week about the fact that some people have Psalm 91 memorized. Not just memorized, they can quote it in their sleep. Okay. It's good. But I'm saying that the reason why they are so confident about supernatural protection, why fear is kept at bay, is because in that area they have learned to acknowledge good things. They know, in light of the scriptures, that no evil will befall them, neither will any plague come near their dwelling place. They know that 1,000 may fall by their side and 10,000 by their right hand. So you are busy counting. They are not up to 10,000 yet. Okay? Only with your eyes will you see and behold the reward of the wicked. So they are conscious of supernatural protection. But then sometimes something as small as falling asleep becomes an issue. I hear somebody else, now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Somebody else sleeps naturally. So he's not even using faith. In fact, he uses with faith to stay awake. You know some people, if they sleep in a meeting, they will dream. If they sleep in a bus, they will dream. It's not even by faith. It's by natural makeup. Okay? But some people who may have a natural issue with sleeping may have to stand upon scriptures that says that he giveth his beloved sleep. And I wonder, you will lie down and you sleep and nothing shall make you what? Afraid. Now, you are acknowledging the fact that you have a right to sleep. He that keeps Israel doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber. There's no point the two of you staying up awake. He's awake, so you go to bed. You understand? So, in any area where your faith doesn't seem to be working, it is not more faith you need. It is that you need God's word in that area that will now, so to speak, bring your faith into full expression. So we're looking at the subject of healing because at one point or the other, you will need healing for yourself or you need healing for others. You don't build a house in a storm. You build a house before storm ever comes. Hallelujah. So when we look at this subject, we're speaking about things that pertain to every single one of us. So it's important that we pay attention. You should be convinced beyond reasonable doubt that healing belongs to you. All right, 3 John verse 2. By the Spirit of God, the Apostle John says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Let me read that again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be. The word be means abide in health. So, that word wish also is not wish as we know it in the English language. You realize that the original scriptures were not written in this format. Okay, they're written in Greek. Okay, so the translators put the word wish, but there is a stronger intention behind that word. What is actually communicated is more of pray. I honestly pray. That's what's communicated. So it's more than the casual wishing. Okay, the intention there is that I pray above all things, which is the number one thing on my prayer list for you, is that you will prosper and abide in health, even as your soul prospers. And of course, you understand that this is a prayer inspired by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's as important as Ephesians 1:17-23. Okay, as Ephesians 3:14-21. As Colossians 1:9-11. As Philippians 1:9-11. It's as important as that. It says, I pray above all things. This is my earnest prayer for you. That you will prosper and that you be in health. You will abide in health. So, healing is something that you cannot miss as you browse through the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Glory to God. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? So, when we are acknowledging, we are building a case. To build a case means you have facts at hand. that you can stand on, you can count on. For why you are about to say that healing belongs to you. Okay, Hebrews in chapter 1. God was sundry times and in diverse manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 2, the part of verse 2 is my focus. He has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. Okay? And he says that Son is, look at verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So we said some things last week about the fact that Jesus is the will of God in the flesh. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 9 that he that has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus is the greatest revelation of that invisible God. When you see Jesus, when you study his things, when you see his actions, you are seeing exactly how God is. The Bible says, God in time past, in diverse manners, speak to the fathers by the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us by the Son. So the Son himself is the message of the scriptures. That phrase, God spoke in time past, the intention behind that statement is this. God has been trying to communicate truth to man. And until the Son came on the scene, God wasn't able to say all he wanted to say because no one could fully understand what he was trying to say. But the minute Jesus came upon the scene, he is the brightness of his glory, the express image or the exact replica of God. And it's important we understand that because everything he just did as God in the flesh. That means, therefore, that his primary assignment was to display God. It means he was a visible expression of the invisible God. So whatever he did was to showcase, this is exactly how the Father is. Hallelujah. So we, so to speak, take his statements, the statements in the epistles, more seriously than we take the acts of the prophets in the Old Testament. Notice that phrase again. God who has sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as finally in this last day spoken by his Son. So, and the Son is the brightness of his glory, the express image. No prophet was ever called express image of God. No prophet ever fully represented God until Jesus came. Why? He is the Son. Hallelujah. So when we see him in the Gospels, we're seeing who the Father is in character. We're seeing the one who revealed himself to Moses manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand that? It's important. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Because the reason why God reveals himself is so that man can have something to believe. I'm saying a lot of things at the same time, but I trust that you will keep up and you will follow, and then also you do your best to get the message because it's important that you understand these truths. Okay, Exodus chapter 15. If we go back further than chapter 15, we will not have enough time to finish tonight. So let's start from chapter 15. It says, and said, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ears to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. Question. Who recorded this passage of scriptures? Who recorded it? Moses. Is Moses the exact replica of God? Is Moses the full revelation of God? So it is possible to correct Moses, yes or no? How many of you agree? That Moses spoke what he knew, what he understood, because Moses had what we call partial revelation. How many of you agree with that? Okay. Remember John chapter 1 verse 17 says, the Lord came by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? So which is superior, the law of grace and truth? Who is Jesus? The express image of the Father. Do you understand that? Now, notice the construction, because the Old Testament, one of the rules you follow in interpreting is that they used a lot of tenses in the permissive tense. Let me rephrase that. Some things were put in the causative tense. They were actually originally written in the permissive tense. Let me explain what that means. For instance, now, he went out. and I sent him out. Is there a difference between the two? Is there a difference between the two? So let's do it again. He went out. I sent him out. I allowed him to go. I asked him to go. Is there a difference? Answer. Is there a difference? What's the difference between the two? The first sentence, I allowed him to go. And I sent him out or asked him to go. What's the difference? One involved me actively doing something. The other involves me passively doing something. So the person wants to go and I allowed him. I didn't stop the person. And I asked him to go. So when you say something is coercive, it means you are the one behind it. When you say something is permissive, it means you didn't do anything. Do you understand? Okay. So look at that verse 26 again. And he said, if thou didst hearken the voice of the Lord thy God, and we do that which is right inside, and we give ear to his commandment. Notice the condition that he given. If you hear and do. So there is something about them hearing the voice of God and acting to what he said and giving ear to his commandment and keeping on statutes, I will put none. That word put was wrongly translated. What he actually says that I will not allow is important you understand. Because I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. That last part contradicts those first two. I am is the same word he used when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush. When Moses said, who should I send him? He said, I am sent you. And that word I am means I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. And he was speaking in redemptive terms. I will be all that's necessary to be in order to redeem Israel. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That was the same for Jesus when he said, I am the way, I am the truth. It is only used by God. So in revealing himself to them in his name power, he said, I am the one who heals you. And that one heal has two components. One of them is I take sickness away. The other part is I prevent sickness from coming. I do both. Hallelujah. You need to understand what he's trying to say. So if I am the one who takes it away and I'm the one who prevents it, can I be the one who puts it on you? Can you see it? Now, remember again that when the Old Testament was being written, the revelation of God as a good God was not fully known. That means that if they saw evil, they believed God was responsible. If they saw good, they believed God was responsible. In fact, they recorded in the Old Testament that shall we receive good from the Lord and not receive evil? I hope you know it's there. Why did they say that? That was all they knew. The revelation of Satan was not there at all. They didn't even know who Satan was. That's what led Job to conclude. He and his friends, what they concluded. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be. You're not even blessing him as he takes away. Why? They didn't know who Satan was. And in Job chapter 1, notice that the Bible tells us it was Satan who attacked him. What did Job think attacked him? God. He didn't say Satan at all. He didn't. So in the Old Testament, Satan activities were masked. And so people attributed every supernatural occurrence to God. Unfortunately, a lot of believers still do today. That's one of the reasons why you see a believer telling another believer, God will punish you. Because they see God as a headmaster with cane. That's why. Because they don't have revelation of the truth of scriptures. So Jesus came to demonstrate, to display. The average believer believes, for instance, that if they take a step out of turn, God will punish them. But Jesus healed everyone who came, and everyone he healed were all sinners. And he didn't tell them, go and repent of your sin first. Is that not shocking? They caught a woman in the act of adultery, in the very act. And Jesus asked her, does no man condemn thee? In that do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't condemn. He set her free and gave her gift of no condemnation. And Jesus is God in the flesh. Remember when they brought her to Jesus, they said to Jesus, Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? Jesus was saying Moses was wrong. I have not come to destroy lives but to save lives. And Jesus was showing us the original intent of God. He is God in the flesh. So he's the final authority on the character of God. Say amen.
So when this scripture that says that I am the Lord that what healeth thee, I'm the one who takes sickness away, I'm the one who prevents sickness from coming, it can't be the same one who is putting. So the word there, I will put none, means I will allow none of these diseases to come upon you. That implies that he is not the one who is causing it, he is one who will shield you from it. Say amen. It's important that you see the difference. That's why in study many times, you just can't study in King James and get the full import of all scriptures. You have to study original text sometimes to get the full import. So when he says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought, that word which I brought means which I permitted to come upon the Egyptians. Hallelujah. And I said something to us last Sunday. It's a teaser. And when you come to Nubula's Academy, we'll teach some of those things. That, do you notice that when Moses was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the chapter of faith, okay? Abel was mentioned, Enoch was mentioned, Noah was mentioned, isn't it? Abraham was mentioned, Sarah was mentioned, Isaac was mentioned, Joseph was mentioned, Jacob was mentioned. When Moses was mentioned, do you notice that all the plagues that he put upon Egypt was not mentioned? Have you ever noticed it? Anything that was done in the old that was not put as a reference point in the new is not meant to be recorded. It's not the will of God. If you understand that, let me say that. I'm just teaching our laws how to interpret the scriptures. Once it was not mentioned, do you notice that the fire that Elijah called was not mentioned? But when he prayed for rain, it was mentioned. I mean, this is the fire that destroyed the honor to men. Because God is a savior from Genesis. Saving men is God's specialty, not destroying men. Were there acts of destruction? Yes. How were they wrought? By men, through men. Was that God's original intent? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth where? In him shall not. So why did Jesus come? So that men will not perish. So if Jesus came so that men will not perish, and Jesus is the express image of God, will God do anything to make man perish? Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? You cannot get this except you go to scripture. So because you can't count on experience, experiences can deceive. Let God be true. Hallelujah. It's important. So we know that healing is God's will and has always been God's will, because we saw in the ministry of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, quickly, my time is fast spent, we have not even gotten to where we are supposed to start from. Luke chapter 4, see the message that Jesus predominantly preached everywhere he went. In starting his ministry, Jesus preached this message everywhere he went, and there's a reason why, and we'll look at the reason why shortly. Luke chapter 4 from verse 16. So Jesus, the express image of God, Jesus who manifested God's will and God's counsel, Jesus who displayed God's character in a blameless way. Look at what he did in chapter 4 verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, that means that this is what Jesus usually does. Whenever he goes to any city and he enters the synagogue, he has a particular custom. This is the custom. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on what? The Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. Let me explain what that means. When they get to the synagogue, everybody sits down. If you want to read from the scriptures, you will stand up to signify you are ready to read. Then they will acknowledge you. Do you understand? The rabbi there will acknowledge. So he stood up for to read. The Bible says it was his custom. So this was a regular practice of Jesus. He will stand up to read. The difference was in what he did. How he read was different from how anybody had read before him. See what he did. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. So he didn't just open flippantly. He looked for a particular scripture, which means it was something he was familiar with. What did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is where? Upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You can summarize the ministry of Jesus in the four gospels in two words. He was sent to preach and he was sent to heal. He was sent to preach and he was sent to heal. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. verse 23. See the record of Jesus. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Did you see that? So Jesus went about preaching and teaching and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Did you see that? Very important. He went about. And this is what he was doing. Now, when Bible says he went about here, this is what Peter was referring to in Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. King James, please. It's not functioning. It's not functioning. Okay. It says, "Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." So he was anointed. And he used that power to accomplish a specific purpose. Who went about doing good? What was that good? Healing all the way, what? Oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, when the Bible says God was with him, it's a reference to the anointing that he was anointed with. So, how did Jesus prove the character of God? How did he prove God was with him in what he went about doing? In other words, what he was anointed with was to do something. It was to heal. The Bible now says what Jesus was undoing was something that Satan had done. Hallelujah. So in the New Testament, we know who the author of sickness is. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power. And he went about doing what? Doing good and healing. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. In other words, that same revelation that God gave to Moses in Exodus is being manifested through Jesus in the scriptures, that I am the God that what healed thee. He went about healing. And we have so many passages in the four gospels about people being healed, lives being changed, people being affected through the healing ministry of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. We have to be persuaded beyond reasonable doubt. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. Let's read verse 16 so it can make sense. Verse 16. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas, which also was the traitor. Go more verse, man. We don't need the traitor. Okay, this was where the names were. Let's read further. Let's go back. Go back. Okay, yeah. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So jump the read verse 17 now. You can do that now. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him so they came to hear, that means he preached, and to be healed. Notice the connection with his preaching and healing ministry. He will preach, the Spirit of God is upon me, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. It was through his preaching ministry that his healing ministry was primarily manifested. Let me put it this way. Why did God speak to Moses and speak about the fact that he is the one who heals? Anything God has capacity and ability to do, he will first reveal so that man can believe. Let me say that again. Anything that is in God's character and God's nature, God will reveal so that man can believe. It is a revelation of God that inspires faith in our hearts. So we see Jesus here, God in the flesh, physically carrying out the will of God or expressing the character of God. The Bible says that the people came to hear and to be healed. So it was in their hearing that made it easy for them to be healed. It means whatever caused healing to manifest was in what Jesus said. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. So yeah, but they came. Let's read a bit further. Okay, it says, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to what? Touch him. For there went out virtue. I know King James because of that virtue. There went out power. Healing power went out of him. And what? Heal them all. Hallelujah. Heal them all. So, throughout the four Gospels, the testimony is the same. The Bible says, in these last days he has spoken, or in the four Gospels he was speaking by the Son. God was demonstrating who he is, his character, his eternal will to heal through his Son. That's why, again, no believer has a right, listen carefully, to dream up a reason why healing should not be manifest in your life. Number one, there was no one Jesus healed in first Gospels that was not a sinner. Think about it. There was not a single one. And Jesus never called their sins in question before he ministered to them. Think about it. John chapter 8 is where I got the record from. The woman who was caught in the act of adultery, that wasn't healing. Mark chapter 1 verse 40-41, we'll see the man that was leprous who came to Jesus, which you saw last week, and asked Jesus, I know you can, if you will. And Jesus told him, I will, be thou cleansed. And the man was cleansed immediately. Matthew chapter 9, we have the story of two blind men who were following him, and Jesus asked them a question. Do you believe I'm able to do this? We believe. Then be it unto you according to your faith. They were healed. Jesus did not discuss their sin with them. It's very interesting. John chapter 9. Let me show you a passage. Because sometimes the reason why people are not getting, because there is no reason you can find them. People now conjure reasons. Have you seen that kind of thing before? People conjuring reasons. That's, you are bringing up reasons why. This passage is always interesting because of some of the sentiments. So that you know that the disciples were not, they didn't drop from heaven. They were like you and I. John chapter 9. John's Gospel chapter 9. Let's read from verse 1. Are you there? Okay, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man, listen carefully, which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that was born blind? I have no problem with if his parents sinned. The one I have problem with is the man that is blind, who was born that way. Was it in the womb that he sinned? Meat and religion can destroy faith. The question they asked Jesus shows you how they were thinking, which is the traditional Jewish thinking. Who committed sin? This man or his parents? Look at what was recorded in verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from when? From where? So, you know, from that means that immediately he came out, they just saw he was blind. So, when did he commit the sin if he was the one? I just want you to see how funny the question must have looked. The man committed sin in the womb, and the sin brought blindness. They now gave birth to him, and he was blind. Religion suggests some very impossible situations. But look at the way Jesus answered them. Then Jesus answered, neither had the man sinned, listen carefully, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. If you stop there, you have missed everything Jesus is saying. Because if you stop there, according to the way this is written, what it looks like Jesus is saying is this: the man was blind so that the works of God can be manifest. Blasphemy. Think about it. God will make the blind and now come and heal him to show. Am I not good? Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. But again, it is in the reading that you understand what he was trying to say. Because the way it is written, if you take away the command, see what he's really saying. Neither has this man seen nor experienced. In other words, it is not a specific sin they committed. They are simply experiencing what they are experiencing because of the fall of man. Do you understand? Let me say this. Do you know that the reason why sometimes we have babies born who are deformed is not because the parents did anything? There are genetic defects. Adam is responsible for genetic defects we find in mankind. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Okay? Adam is responsible for genetic defects. The fall, or Adam's transgression, not the fall, Adam's transgression is responsible for genetic defects. So there are things that happen to Junior in the womb that are a function of what? Genetic defects. And Adam is responsible. Not the child, not the parent. Just by being a man, You are in this environment that is affected by Adam's word transgression. So look at what Jesus said. So neither had this man seen nor experienced, but that the works of God should be made manifest, I must walk. Should I read that again? Neither had this man seen nor experienced, but that the works of God should be made manifest, I must walk. That's how it's written. I must walk the works of God. So you see, the man didn't commit, the parents didn't commit, but the best way to make God's work manifest is that I must now walk. Which is what you are seeing in this man's life is not the work of God. Let me now show you the word of God. I will open his eyes. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me see. Should I go over that again? I should go over again. So let's read together. Because if you really become out, you will miss it. Neither has this man seen nor experienced, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. No full stop is there originally. There's no full stop there. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must what? Works the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. So what Jesus is about to do is about to show what the works of God are, to destroy the works that brought that man to that condition. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, the Son of God and his works are directly opposite the works of the devil. Say amen. It's important that you understand that. So the works of him that is speaking about is what Jesus will need to do to free this man from this condition, which is to heal the man. Glory to God. So it's important that those things are very clear. Say, it's God's will to heal me at all times. There will never be a situation or a condition in life where it will be God's will that I'm well. He has made it so easy for me to receive and experience healing. He has given me his Son. He that has the Son has life. I have the Son, I have life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's important. So last week now, let's leave this now. Last week we saw something. We saw the Syrophoenician woman, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 15. That came to Jesus. And then Jesus told her, it is not meet to give the children's bread and cast. I don't know if you remember that. Because some of us were not here last week. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 15 quickly. Your look is telling me you're not here. Matthew 15. And some people are looking at me in particular. I shall not mention their names. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Matthew 15, 22. Let's read quickly. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lordship of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, that means it's not right, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So we saw something here that Jesus was trying to lay down certain things about the operations of God. And he said, what you are asking for is something that is reserved from the children. And he called healing the children's bread. The children's bread, which is those who have a particular relationship with God, the children's bread. Then the woman took advantage of what Jesus revealed and said, well, if healing is children's bread, and I'm not one of the children, and I'm a dog, that word dog doesn't mean a literal dog, that word simply means somebody who doesn't have a covenant with God. So the woman now said, well, figuratively speaking, I'm a dog. Figuratively speaking, those who belong to God as children. So let's also speak figuratively. If the crumbs fall from the table, the dogs will have access. Do you understand? So Jesus looked at her and said, woman, great is your faith. Because when she said that, what she was saying is this, I believe that the same power to heal inside the bread is in the crumbs. Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. In fact, her faith was persisting faith. She refused to take no. She believed. The Bible says her daughter was healed that same hour. That's important. Now, notice Jesus said, healing is a children's bread. The question is, are you a child of God? So you don't need crumbs. You are not the one begging to be healed. Healing is your bread. I'm going to say something like that. Someone will say, what's the pastor saying again? You don't need faith consciously to be healed. It's the bread that has been fed. How many of you have children who need faith to feed in the morning? If they need faith to feed, you are a bad parent. Can you imagine your figure that I'm believing God? Lord, I believe that will give me food this morning. I just believe mommy will make food today. I just believe God. You need faith for your parents to do what they want to do. So the woman, listen carefully, required active faith because she was a dog. In other words, the time it took for her to follow Jesus, act after Jesus, none of the children will need to do that. Hallelujah. Why? Healing is the children's bread. So when the children ask, they are asking with unconscious faith. Why? It is theirs. Say, healing is mine. I'm a child of God. Healing is my bread. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. It's important that you see that fact. So if you are, when you're meditating and you are following Jesus as he goes about in that passage, you are not the Syrophoenician woman, because you are not a dog. You are among the children, and healing is your bread. Say amen. It's important. Bible says, to as many as received him, to them give you power to become what? The sons of God. Are you a son now? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's read all the way down to verse 16, 17. But if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by spirit that dwells in you. Verse 14. For as many as are what? Led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Next verse. For you have not received the spirit of money again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Next verse. And the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. So clearly in the scripture is emphasizing one thing. We are sons of God. See, I am a son of God. Healing belongs to me. Galatians 4. We're simply putting one thing. Galatians 4. Let's do Galatians 3:26 first. Galatians 3:26. See what it says. Galatians 3:26. For you are all children of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4:4. It's possible you are quoting so many scriptures because you are acknowledging. You have to have facts. It's not something that is a guesswork. It is stated clearly, and you must know. I have facts backing me up that I am a child of God. If I am a child of God, Jesus said, healing is my bread. Hallelujah. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his form of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. Next verse. And because you are sons, say, because I'm a son, God has sent from the spirit of his son into my heart, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 John 3:1. You must have incontrovertible evidence of who you are. 1 John 3:1. Behold, this is a secret. Behold what manner of love the Father has. Ask, is that present tense or past tense? Present or past tense? Past tense. Behold what manner of love the Father has. So the beholding, listen carefully, is taking place after what the Father has done. He has done it. You are now beholding. And in beholding, you are being transformed to what you are seeing. To behold means look. Attention. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called. The word love there is not something passive. That word love is a summary of the sacrifice of Jesus that made the new birth possible to you and possible to me. So the love that God has bestowed or showered or lavished upon you that made it possible for you to be called the Son of God. So he now says, therefore the world knows us not because he knew me, not verse 2. Behold now, hallelujah, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall what? See him as he. Say with me, now are we the sons of God, and healing belongs to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:10. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God has a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you are a son of God, what do you have? And that's a life that's not associated with sickness. Eating is your bread. That's a life that has no association with sickness. I'm reading that you may know. So the writing is because of something that has happened that every single child of God needs to be reminded of. What has happened? You have the Son, you have life. He that has the Son has his life. He that has not the Son has not life. So I've written this unto you that you believe, that you may know you have what? Eternal life. Or you have a sickness-free life. Glory to God. You have a sickness-free life. As he is, so are we. If no sickness is found in him, no sickness is found in you. So when you see a trace of sickness, you can stand your ground upon the word of God. That's what it means. As he is, so am I. I have his very life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me pass one more thought before we go tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. So, how do you go about exercising it? Because it's important that you understand that also. What does it mean for healing to be the children's bread? Number one, we are all sons. And because we are sons, then healing is our bread. Now what bread means is our rights. It's not something we beg for. When you see a believer, listen carefully, begging for God to heal him, he has departed from the truth. To beg means you have lost sight of who you are. To beg means you have just taken the role of a dog. You know, let me say this. Do you notice that if pressure of life comes, sometimes we forget everything we have learned. And anytime you forget, it should call your attention to the fact that you don't know yet as you ought to know. It means you're not grounded or established in that thing. So when pressures force you to change your disposition towards God, don't forget that God's disposition remains unchanged. You are the one who changed. Don't be like prodigal son. Who don't being a son wanted to become a servant? That's what condition turns people to. And no matter what we say that, never mistake. They never mistake your condition for your portion. I never forgot it. It's wisdom. He said, never mistake your condition for your portion. Which is, don't let your condition change your mind about your portion. The prodigal son made one major mistake. When he went about with the riotous living, he began to seek the office of a servant, even though he was a son. He thought what he did could remove his status as a son. Hallelujah. But the father still treated him like a son. Because in the father's eyes, he was still a son. So when you're not grounded well in scriptures, you will try to go about things contrary to scriptures. A believer should never beg God for healing. Let me explain what I mean. I'm not saying that in arrogance. I'm not saying that in pride. I'm telling you that when you beg God to heal you, you are in unbelief. Please, friend, it's important you understand this. This is not arrogance. When you beg God to heal you, you just told him, I don't believe your word. You didn't ask for him to make healing the children's bread. He said healing is the children's bread. That means healing is what he provided specifically for the children. Now, he gave it to servants in the Old Testament. Freely. How much more you than you are a son? Think about it. He kept the old Israel alive. The Bible says that for 40 years, there was no... Some things are very strange. Don't just... 40 years, there was no feeble... You know what it means to be feeble? Should I tell what people? Should I tell what it means to people? Somebody using cane. They're supporting somebody. Take it easy, one by one. You know, don't rush. Look at the way you are breathing. Your BP is high. There was none feeble among them, and they were not sons. Think about it. 40 years. None was feeble, and they were not in God's perfect will. Jesus now told us something Moses couldn't tell us, because Moses was never a son. At his best, he was a servant. Jesus now told us, don't you know that healing is the children's bread? That means the same way a father will prepare a table and invite his children, he's one who prepare a table, he's one who put whatever is on the table or the table, and now says, only sons can sit here. So when you beg because of the pain, realize you are walking contrary to his word. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So to beg looks like it is something holy, it is something ungodly. I'm just, you know, I'm using scriptures to explain, so you won't say it's my, I'm not teaching my experience. Because you will, the condition will make you feel like, God, please now. Why? Somebody asked me some time ago, I said, Pastor, I don't know why God will not heal me. Something in my heart caught. I said, that sentence construction is blasphemous. Why God will not heal you? He just told me that God decided that since everybody in the family will have bread, when he got to your turn, they passed you by. If we... let me explain what that means. We're all in this room. Do you know it's going to take us extra effort to ensure AC doesn't get to you? Because you're already here. The ushers will need something special to prevent. Because if you're in this room, there's AC here. Guess what? You will feel it. What we need to do for this not to reach you, we'd have to do something special and extra. Since you're just being here, makes AC will touch you. Do you understand? That is what it means for you to say things like, I don't know why God will not. It's blasphemous. It's like you saying, I don't know why God will not help Christ. If you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and you are his according to the promise. Christ is your qualification. He gave you the life of Christ. That is the best that God has. How will God? Do you know what it means for God to single you out? I say, okay, let me ask you a question. Have you seen people before on the road that they were so wicked that when rain was falling, their head was drying? You've seen them before. No, he causes his rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. So if God is merciful to the wicked, how will he be to his child? Think about it. So when the situation wants to force you to speak contrary, remember, I am a child. The revelation of your healing is the revelation of your sonship. I am a child. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Say bestowed. Say lavished. That's what the word bestowed means. That we should be called the sons of God. It's so important that you get that. For you not, for God not to heal you, he will need to single you out. He will need to separate you from Christ. Since everybody in Christ will enjoy this thing, let's remove him from Christ. That takes another power that God doesn't have. But that's what it means. So when believers say foolish things, because it's foolishness speaking. Why? You've not acknowledged every good thing. It means you don't have facts. So the situation is confirming your speech. I don't know why God will not heal me. Even God is like, that is a new one. Even Satan can't form this. Only man can come with such an ingenious statement. Why I won't? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I can't go to Proverbs again today. We'll do Proverbs next week. Romans 8:32. Are you getting something tonight? Okay. Can we read that together? Or should we read the previous verse? Let's read the previous verse. Let's read the previous one. Verse 29. From what he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be. Notice the word to be is what? Italicized. Okay. So how we read is this. From what he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Conform to the image. If you use the word to be, that places it in the future tense. You've scattered the scripture. Because if you're in Christ, you're already conformed to the image. Christ is the image. Every believer is conformed to. Say amen. You are not going to be conformed. You're already conformed. I've seen conventions. The title is that, to be conformed to his image. A whole convention. You know, it's a problem. Because all the prayer points there will be how you'll be conformed. But that's not what that scripture is saying. So italics can cause problem. Because that italics cause problem for their convention. That your convention is that to be conformed to the. But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. He's saying, for whom he did foreknow, he also did what did predestinate, conformed to the image of what? Of his son. That he might be the prototype son. So that when you see him, if you have not seen the other sons, you know how all the other sons are. Did you hear what I said? If you see Christ, he's without sin, he's without sickness, he's without blame, he's without blemish. That's how all the other sons are. That's what he's saying. Look at the next verse. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also. He just told you the process that you went through to be called a son of God. That's the process you went through in Christ that now makes you called what? We call what? A son of God. Look at the next verse. What shall we then say? Since you now know that you were called, you were predestinated, you were called, you were justified, you have been glorified, what are you now going to say? How do you think you should be speaking? Do you understand that? This should inform what you say, how you act, how you behave. What do you think you should be saying? That's what he's saying. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, how has he been for you? Through the things he just finished saying. He was one who predestinated you. He was one who called you. He was one who justified you. He is one who glorified you. So what are you going to say? Can't you see that God is for you? Say, God is for me. At all. Say, God will never be against me. In Christ Jesus, God can never be. I will never be against me. Glory to God. So see what he says. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Glory to God. See, those things include healing. Health is mine. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in health. I'm in wholeness. All my kidneys, my pancreas, my liver, every internal organ is working well. Every cell, every tissue in my body is invigorated by the life of God. I experience life. I experience health. I am whole in every part of my body. In the name of Jesus, I have boldness of speech. Healing is mine today. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Healing is mine. Health is mine. So long life is mine. Hallelujah. That's how you ought to speak. What shall we then see? We are giving you these facts so that you can know what to say, so that you won't say the wrong thing. What shall we then say to this? Is, since God is for you, in one of these, I will show that sometimes when the Bible uses the word if, the original translation actually means since. It also means since. Since God be for us, is there any that can successfully be against us? How is it for you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up or handed him over as a payment to make you a son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, he has given me all things through Christ Jesus. One of those things is healing and health and wholeness. Every part of my body experiences life and wholeness. Even right now, I will not be sick again. One day in my life, the life of God abides in me. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I glorify God in my spirit and in my body, which belong to God. Lift up your hands and give him praise now. And thank him. And thank him. And bless his name. Thank you, Father, for tonight. We stand in awe of your word. We're nourished, we're fed, we're instructed, we're blessed. We thank you for the entrance of your word. And we thank you for the life and the light that is ours to enjoy. Thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you because knowledge, grace and peace is multiplied unto us through the revelational knowledge of your word. We will never be the same again. We walk in the light of life. We are strengthened. We are not afraid of tomorrow. Christ is our redemption. Christ our sanctification. Christ our assurance. Christ our boldness. In Christ Jesus, we make bold to say we are free from sickness. We are free from disease. He is the one that heals us, that makes us whole, that strengthens us. We are sure that we will never, ever again be afraid of sickness or disease. We are whole and we are strong and we are sound in Christ. Blessed be your name, Father. Hallelujah. Amen.